Okay, very, very quickly, I want us to, during this holiday season, to reflect here for a moment today on the story that you know very, very well, the story of the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, but to think about it today in light really of sort of what you see up here and what you've done. We're going to read the story, but we're not going to necessarily look at the details, but we are going to look at the big picture of what the details highlight. Fair enough? All right, let's start reading. Luke chapter 2. Here's the story of the coming of Christ, Luke chapter 2, starting verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now, if you're doing a personality profile on shepherds, shepherds are not exactly social networkers. Shepherds are more introverted, and no matter how good a shepherd you are, you're still a shepherd. No matter what your character may be, you're still a shepherd. And a shepherd is like on the lowest rung of employed humanity. And so as you read this story and you notice the details of where Jesus was born in Bethlehem, to whom he was born, obscure peasants, to whom his birth was announced, shepherds. You read the story and you go, God is just not a gifted marketer. God's no good at marketing. He's just not. I mean, is this the way you would do it? Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Skipping down to verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's do this. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they go, the shepherds go, they experience Jesus, verse 20, and afterwards the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Listen carefully, this is not the way the story of Jesus had to happen. One more time, this is not the way the story had to happen. There were endless possible scenarios. And if you could write your own life story, how would you write it? If you could be in control of all of the particulars, how would you write your story? What would be your life context, your country, your ethnicity, your language? What would be the occupation and status of your parents? What would your class or rank be? And so this is an odd choice. And you would just think God would be more effective at marketing. To choose such obscurity to announce this to shepherds? Listen carefully. It is not incidental that Jesus was born into poverty. No one who considers Jesus can escape that Jesus chose to write the details of his own story and that those details point to one who was not just concerned about the poor, he chose to identify himself as one who is poor. And the shepherds, absolutely zero leverage. But maybe God is much more strategic than what we give him credit for. Because it was important for God to make sure that the story of Jesus is told in such a way so that when it is heard correctly, it will change us. Christ has come. God has broken into our world, and he has broken even into our poverty. Everybody in this room's poor in some way. There is some way you are less than. Spiritually, we are all in abject poverty. Remember the old King James Version of the Bible? Some of you, you've never read the King James Version of the Bible. That's okay. You know, that's all right. It's fine. I grew up on the King James Version of the Bible. To this day, when I quote certain verses of Scripture, I still quote the King James. You remember the word for love in the King James Version? Charity. A lot of folks read that and almost bristle. Well, I'm not a charity case. Yes, you are. You're a complete and total charity case. But God has been so kind and gracious to us. The story of Christ shouts, I know you. I know you even in your poverty. And I know you when you feel like you have absolutely nothing that matters in this world. And then there's another scenario, though, in this story of Jesus, in the birth story of Jesus. Skip down to verse 22 here in Luke chapter 2. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, in other words, Mary has now given birth. She needs to go through certain purification rites. Here's what happens. Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Because as it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. And here's what was said, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, this is really important. You know, you're going along, these are details. Well, you know, I'm not really interested in doves and pigeons. This is important. These details are pointing you somewhere. Why did Joseph and Mary bring not a lamb sacrifice, but doves and pigeons? Here's why. In the Old Testament, here's what it had to say. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8. But if she, the mother, cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for the burnt offering, the other for a sin offering, and this way the priest will make atonement for her and she will be clean. Luke wants us to understand here that Jesus' parents brought two doves and two pigeons because that's all they could afford. Jesus wraps himself in poverty. And as believers, there are a lot of things in this world we should care about. And one of those is the poor. All the details in the story of Christ's coming remind us that there's not a single person on this planet who is so destroyed, who is so vile, who is so useless, who is so fragmented, who is so empty, who is so marginalized, who is so outcast that God does not value you, that God does not value that person with unending, infinite, unconditional love. And there are a ton of us in this room today that in one way or another, we feel like all we've got to bring to God are a couple of pigeons and a couple of doves. Maybe not financially, but in some way. But my friends, one of God's consummate, ultimate acts is that all people are important to God and are worthy of heavenly compassion in large ways and small ways. And he has given us the privilege of partnering with him and at times bringing a little hope to the poor. And if you would see Jesus in this world, you will see him in the faces of those who are in need. And we would say to Jesus, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry? When did we ever see you in need? And he would say, inasmuch as you serve the least of these, you've done it to me. The work of God in this world is larger than you can imagine. And the work of God in this world is much smaller than you can imagine too. Much smaller. It involves even at times a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. And all these sacks up here today, they represent your compassion. They represent your united compassion. We can all do more together than any one of us can do individually. And these presents, S-E-N-T-S, actually represent your presence in our community. Occasionally, somebody will ask me, they'll say, "Hey, Ronnie, you know, the church you go to, your church, where's that church located?" Well, that depends on when you're asking. If you're looking for where our church building is located, it's located at 2140 First Colony Boulevard. If you're looking for where our church is located, well, for example, tomorrow morning, Monday, some ordinary day, where's our church? Answer, the correct answer would be, our church is working at a dentist's office here in Sugar Land. Our church is going to classes in local high schools. Our church is getting children fed and dressed at a house in Greatwood. Our church is working in offices up on Post Oak. Our church is teaching at Cornerstone Christian Academy. Our church is organizing some food and gifts at Second Mile Mission Center. On Sunday, we gather to worship and learn and recalibrate and unify. On Monday, Jesus goes on tour. On Monday, Jesus hits the road. You are the body of Christ. And on Sunday, we gather and worship. And on Monday, Jesus hits the road. There's a wonderful old statement in the Old Testament from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10. It reads as follows. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. Now let that sink in for a moment. What this means is that there's a certain group of people that when these people do well, nobody around them is really envious if they really know them. Nobody complains or grumbles because these people have such good character that when that person prospers, they say, you know what? That's going to be good for everybody. If that person does well, I tell you what, that's going to be good for the church. That's going to be good for the school. That's going to be good for the community. That's going to be good for everybody. Why? Because that person will use whatever kind of affluence they have for some good influence. They will not be completely self-absorbed. And when they prosper, it's going to be good for everybody, for the school, for the office, for the community, for the church. And the ultimate example of this is Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." I believe you are the kind of people, that you are the kind of person about whom other folks would say, you know, I shudder to think what our neighborhood would be like without him, without her. And I want to exhort you to continue to be the kind of person about whom someone at your work says, she adds so much value here. He brings so much joy, so much integrity, some compassion here. We would be a lesser place if that person's not around. And when that person prospers, it's good news for everybody. Can I put a couple of photos up here on the screen? One's a thermometer. This is kind of cheesy, I know. It's kind of cheesy. One's a thermometer. You know what a thermometer does. It reads the temperature. And you know, there are a lot of people who do that in this world. What's the temperature? And I'll sort of go with the flow. And then there are people who are thermostats, and they set a tone. They don't just read the temperature, they set the temperature by what they talk about, by how they behave. You're a thermostat. You have the capacity to be. You are a carrier of Jesus. You are a carrier of the presence of the living God in you. That's who you are. The presence of God is with you, and wherever you go, you have the capacity and the potential. Well, today we gather and we worship. Tomorrow Jesus goes on tour. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. And you set the tone wherever you go. And when you do well, it's going to be good for everybody because you're going to be salt and light of the world, and you're going to use some of your affluence for some really good influence. And this is just a small picture of the joy of being salt of the earth and the light of the world. Well, what does all this mean for you in a very personal way as we conclude? If you today are not yet a Christian, it could mean that today is actually your day. It can be this simple, where you acknowledge that you know that you are a sinner and that you understand that Jesus can be your Savior, that He is indeed the hope of the world, and that you acknowledge that you believe that what He taught is true, and that when He died on the cross, in some way you'll never understand the full magnitude of that, but you do understand that He was taking on our guilt, and that means that forgiveness is a free gift of grace, and you are a candidate to receive it. You can make that decision today. You can turn your heart in His direction. That's called repentance. You can be baptized into His name. You can have your sins removed. You can begin walking in a new direction. It can be that today. If you've already made that decision, what it simply means is today you're gathering, you're worshiping, you're recalibrating, you're serving. And remember, tomorrow, you're part of the strategy of Jesus. Jesus goes on tour. Jesus hits the road with you. All right? He's turning you loose. Been doing that for 2,000 years. That's still His strategy. Turn my people loose. All right. Let me ask you, if you would please, to take out your communication cards. And on that communication card, there is a place for you to indicate that I want to talk to somebody about my spiritual status. I want to talk to someone about my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd like to speak with somebody about becoming a Christian. There's a place there for you to indicate a desire to talk to someone about identifying with our church and what all that means. We have a fantastic ministry here called Celebrate Recovery. If you want some information about Celebrate Recovery that helps you deal with some hurts and hang-ups and habits in life, you can indicate your desire to know more about that on your communication card. We have a ministry here in our church, our hospitality greeting ministry, that's looking for some new volunteers. And if you're looking for a particular place where you can, you know, kind of connect and serve, you know, one Sunday a month, two Sundays a month, please check that greeter ministry box. So if you would, take your time, fill out that card. There's room there for you to write out a prayer request. Write out your prayer requests. Take a moment and do that. And when you finish, if you'll just pass those cards to the aisles, our ushers will collect those here momentarily. All right. Let me lead us in prayer, then we'll sing our concluding song. Lord God, we thank You for what You're doing in the world. We thank You for what You're doing in our community. We thank You for these fine men and women today who bring their hearts and lives to You, their faith, their hope, their love. They brought sacks that simply represent the tip of the iceberg of their capacity to care. Lord, it's fun to be generous. It's fun to be used by You. It's fun to gather and to worship and to be encouraged. It's also fun to get turned loose for Jesus in our offices, in our homes, in our schools, in our communities. And Lord, I pray that everybody in this room will have that mental picture of being a thermostat, really seeking to be that salt and light and influence for Christ unashamedly in our world. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.